This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Underline the Most High. O Most High. Everybody say, O Most High. O Most High. Yeah, all right. Now, let's go to another passage in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to let you in on a secret for living, secret for living that God taught me years ago. And I believe if you understand this and you can use this in your own life. Amen. All right. 1 Thessalonians. Are you there? All right. Chapter 5 and verse, I think it's verse 18. All right. It says, in everything, not for everything, but in everything, in every situation. All right. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Now here's our subject. Our subject is experiencing the power of thanksgiving. Experiencing the power of thanksgiving. Now, years ago when I began to walk by faith and understand faith and began to study the Word of God, I began to see things in the Word that I had not seen before. After preaching many years and that sort of thing, but once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, began to walk by faith, I began to see things in the Scripture, principles in the Word of God I had not seen before, and the thanksgiving is one principle. Now, we were taught really to be thankful out of a sense of maturity, cordiality, and gratitude. Amen? That, you know, maturity, if you're mature, you ought to be thankful when people do something for you. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, thanksgiving is more than an expression of gratitude. It is a principle of power in the life of the believer. And that is the revelation I want you to get tonight. That when I give thanks to God, I am doing more than just expressing my gratitude. I am activating a power of God that can transform my present and can transform my future. Wish I had a better amen. All right. So then, the whole idea of thanksgiving is that I must be conscious of his goodness. Everybody say conscious of his goodness. Yeah, yeah. I am totally convinced of his greatness. All right. I have confidence in his grace. Watch this. And I am consumed with gratitude. Let's go over that again. Let's go over there. Number one, I am conscious of his goodness. That is, when I think and look at it, I have to say, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. I'm conscious of his goodness. I would not be where I am had it not been for the Lord. So I'm conscious of his goodness. Watch this. And then I have confidence in his, I am convinced of his greatness. Everybody say his greatness. Great. Yeah. He's great. He's a great God. Nothing's too hard for him. Everybody say, if he did it before, he can do it again. All right, watch this. Then I have confidence in his grace. In other words, I'm confident that he'll be gracious to me in the future. Yeah. Amen, amen. And that causes me to be consumed. Everybody say consumed. Consumed. Yeah, I'm consumed. I'm consumed with gratitude. My God, I wouldn't be where I am if it had not been for the Lord. Now, tonight I got two simple points. Everybody say 2 points. All right, one point is the responsibility to give thanks to God. And then number two is the resolve for thanks to God. The responsibility, I got a responsibility to do it, but then I got a resolve, I got a passion to give thanks to God. When I give thanksgiving, I articulate, it's an expression of my gratitude to God for his goodness, what he's done for me in the past, what he's doing for me in the present, and what he has promised to do for me in the future. So thanksgiving is established all through the Scripture. I mean, you don't have to go far in the past in the Word of God before you either see instructions for giving thanksgiving or see somebody giving thanks to God. So I understand that it's a part of the believer's lifestyle, because when I'm in gratitude, when I'm ungrateful and I have this spirit of ingratitude about me, it is then I'm failing to recognize the source of my blessing. When I'm ungrateful, I fail to represent the source of my blessing. Number two, I set a poor example for those who watch me, who need my witness. If I'm ungrateful, you follow me, then those who are coming after me, who are looking to me for an example, then they get a poor example. Number three, when I have the spirit of ingratitude, I dishonor God and I give Satan the opportunity to accuse God. See, he goes to God and says, okay, all you've done for them, and now look at what, they won't even give you thanks. When I'm ungrateful, you see, I arm the devil with information to go to God to accuse him. Number four, when I'm ungrateful, I lose focus and I have distorted recall, which is detrimental to my faith. Now, what do you mean? Why do I mean lose focus? I forget others have helped me. Everybody say distorted recall. Distorted recall is you forget you got down on your knees and you ask God to help you, and he did. I see a whole lot of folk get distorted recall. Then when they're in trouble, they want God, they want everybody to lay hands on them. They want everybody, they want prayer, they want the prayer cloth. They got gallons of oil they want me to pray over, understand? As soon as they get healed. I got to watch your own cyber church because I can't come. You got distorted recall. You forgot you would not be where you are had it not been for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to the Bibles to Luke, the 17th chapter. So thanksgiving is established in Scripture. It is expected of us by the Savior. Everybody say it is expected of us by the Savior. Yeah, yeah. He expects us to give him thanks. He expects us to give him thanks. So there in Luke, there is this simple story there, Luke chapter 17, of these 10 lepers. Let me read the story so that as you see this, I think you'll understand my point that I'm making. All right. at verse 12, it says, and he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Everybody say afar off. I lifted up their voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Everybody say, as they went. All right, watch this, watch this, watch this now. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Everybody say, hold, hold, hold. All right, now here's the points. Here's the points out of this. Number one, they had a decaying situation. Leprosy caused your body to decay. So they had a decaying situation. And they made a distant supplication. Distant supplication. In other words, they stood afar off. Sometimes God seems afar off, but he's still listening. Have you ever gone through a season in life when it seems like God was so far off? But the good thing about it, even though he may seem to be afar off, he's still listening to your situation. He's still aware of your situation, and he's still ready to do something about your situation. So they had a decaying situation, and they had a distant supplication, and they got directives from the Savior. Jesus said, go show yourself to the high priest. Now, you have to understand the Levitical code to get this next part, Levitical order to get this next part, because before they could get back in society, they had to go to the priest and give an offering. And that priest would, based on that offering, then he would give them their bill of health. Amen. So, I mean, so what Jesus was doing for them, and a lot of people don't like to look at it this way, but he was demanding that they sow something. Everybody say, a demand to sow. Amen. All right, which was followed by deliverance through the supernatural. All right, they're on their way now. They got to go to the priest. They're not going empty-handed. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him.
They're not going empty-handed. They're going there, and as they went to give, to sow this seed. Now, as they go to sow this seed, something supernatural happens. Y'all better stay with me. Something supernatural happens, and they look at their hands, and the decay has stopped. They've searched their bodies and examined their bodies, and the decay has stopped. The leprosy is gone. You don't understand. That's like a person who has had terminal cancer. And they get a good report. Amen, amen. Now what happens here now is, nine of them go their separate ways. But we have this distinguished Samaritan. Everybody say distinguished Samaritan. After being experiencing the supernatural, this distinguished Samaritan, you know, now he's distinguished because of, not just because of his race, but he's distinguished because he does something the rest of them don't do. I mean, I believe he wanted to go home and show off. I'm healed, y'all. I believe he wanted to have a reception and have the neighbors to come over and celebrate his healing. But he had a consciousness about him that he wouldn't be where he was had it not been for that little Jewish teacher. So he goes back to Jesus, falls down on his face. Everybody say consumed. You see, he's consumed with gratitude. He's not worried about what folk thinking about him. He falls down and gives him thanks. Watch this. And we see the demeanor of the Savior. Everybody say the demeanor of the Savior. Now watch this. Jesus stops him and says, wait a minute. He says, now didn't all 10 of y'all get it? In other words, I know you're not the only one. Didn't all 10 of y'all get healed? So now Jesus says, I expected all of y'all to come back. I'm telling you tonight, God expects you to give him thanks. No. Now, he expects you to turn aside to give him thanks. Not just on special days, but every day your mouth ought to be filled with his thanks. Now, watch this. This man does something others don't do. So he gets something others don't get. Because now Jesus says, your faith, this action that you have taken to come back and say thank you now makes you whole. Thanksgiving has triggered something supernatural, because to be whole means everything that has been destroyed, everything that leprosy ate up, whatever it was that was eaten up by the disease. And over this period, Jesus is saying it's all getting ready to be restored. Y'all working me hard. I work hard. Now, out of this, I understand. Everybody say the responsibility. I understand my responsibility. Now, I want to get to my next part. I'm just about through. Because I'm showing you something. That Thanksgiving is more than us cordially giving gratitude to God. There is a power. Go with me in your Bibles to Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Well, before we get to Psalm 50, Psalms 34. Amen. That is, the Bible says, and you hear me quoting this all the time, because, and I'm not just quoting it, I really mean it. Because I know I wouldn't be where I am had it not been for the Lord. Verse 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His shall be in my mouth. Amen, amen, amen. So I must have a resolve. I must have a consciousness to do this. And now let's go to Psalms 50, because I want to understand, when I look at the Psalms, I can see the psalmist being so passionate about thanking God. So in Psalms 50, are you there? In Psalms 50, it's a powerful little passage here in verse 14. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving, pay thy vows unto the Most High. Everybody say Most High. All right. Now, when we first read out of Psalms 92, we focused on the Most High, because the Most High expression means God's got the last word. When we say he's most high, it means I give thanks to the one who has the last word in my situation.
Amen. All right. Again, all throughout the scripture, you'll see that they give thanks to him because he is most high. Everybody say most high, most high. All right. Now watch this. Now, that consciousness helps me when I'm in trouble. And when everybody else counts me out, I must remember he is he is most high. In other words, no matter what it looks like, he's got the last word. Now, somebody need that. Somebody need that because somebody don't have any hope. Follow me? Because the doctor did not give him a good word. The attorney did not give them a good word. Friends and co-workers and loved ones didn't give them a good word, but they don't have the last. Wish I had somebody who could understand that. You ain't never been where you needed to go to God because everybody else had counted you out. But he alone has the last. So the psalmist says, Lord, I'm going to thank you and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to focus on you because you alone have the last word to say about my situation. Everybody say hope against hope, hope against hope. Yeah, he had the last word at the Red Sea when they thought they had Moses. He had the last word as they walked around the walls of Jericho when they thought that they would not win the battle of Jericho. He has the last word. Yeah, at Lazarus' tomb, when they said the boy had been dead too long to be raised from the dead. He always has the last word in your situation. So no matter what word you hear, we give thanks to him most high because he alone has the
last word.
Yeah, 30 years ago, they said my church wouldn't make it. Nobody gonna come listen at you explain the Bible. What kind of church is this? You're going to lay hands on the sick, expect them to be healed. He said, here it won't last 30 days. But they didn't have the
last word.
I thank him because he's got the
last word.
Look at the person that says, you better thank him.
He alone
has the last word. Amen, amen, amen. All throughout the Bible, when everything looked dark, that was one who had the last word. Now, let me close with these four things at Thanksgiving. We talk about the power, the principles and power of Thanksgiving. Because I use Thanksgiving, number one, as a way of life. Everybody say way of life. Number two, as a worship of the Lord. Number three, a warfare against lack. And then number five is wholeness for loss.
Wholeness for loss.
Yeah. All right. Now, see, in a minute, we're going to give thanks to God. We're going to do it in a way God taught. I was studying this and God spoke to me and says, this is how I want you to lead the people to do it. And so we're going to do something in just a moment. Haven't done like this before, but we're going to come to the altar and we're going to give God thanks. We're going to bring our seed and bring our offering. I'm going to show you why we're going to do it. And that's what the Lord told me to do. And we're going to give him thanks. But we are warfare. We're in warfare. We are working on something. Okay, now let me walk through this. First of all, it's a way of life. The Bible teaches us there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that in everything give thanks. So Thanksgiving for us is a way of life. Everybody say a way of life. Yeah, it's a way of life. In other words, I do this by intentional effort. Many times I have to do it by ignoring some elements. Now, Paul and Silas in jail now, and they give thanks in jail. Whipped, bloody, beaten, all that kind of stuff. And in that, they give thanks. Why? It's a way of life for them. So that sometimes you can't let the devil cause you to focus on what you don't have. You got to ignore some things in order to give thanks to God right now. What the devil will do, he will magnify what you don't have. He will magnify prayers that have not yet been answered in the natural. He'll magnify all of that in order to get you not to give thanks. Here's why. Because he understands your thanksgiving is a weapon. And if he can keep you from giving thanks, he can defeat you in the next battle. Help me, Lord. Amen, amen. Everybody say intentional effort. Yeah, all right. And so when I do this, I'm expecting something extraordinary to happen. Now, Thanksgiving is a worship. Go to Psalms 116. It's worship. One of the greatest acts of maturity is for me to reverence God and respect God and respond to God and yet receive from God when I do it. It's a worship. Everybody say it's a worship. All right, now, are you there? Psalms, what I tell you? Look at the psalmist now, because he's experienced some goodness and he says something. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What is he saying? I got a consciousness that I've been blessed by the Lord. Now, what shall I render? So he says, listen, I got this responsibility. I'll take the cup of salvation, call on the name of the Lord, pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of the people. My whole point is here is that he chooses to reverence God. We cannot get apart, I mean, go apart from thanking other folk, you know, who've done things for us and leave God out. Amen. Amen. So he reverenced God. He said, what shall I render? I mean, look at his blessed state and say, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits? He has a respect for God. He's responding. See, because to whom much is given, much is. Come on. To whom much is. Much is. Right. So when I'm in a blessed state, God is expecting something of me. Many people really fail to understand biblical prosperity. Biblical prosperity is not something that you acquire, you know, to make you feel good, or for you to wave in somebody's face, or for you to claim you got some status. He tells Abram, you are blessed to. Come on, that's it. That's it. You are blessed to what? Be. I guess what troubles me more than anything, when I look at these reality shows with these preachers on it, it looks like they have failed to understand. I ain't got no problem with you being blessed. But when you make that the object of it, that's where the problem is. We are blessed to, not to show it off. Got it. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. God doesn't mind you enjoying things, but don't define yourself by your stuff. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. So it's a worship. Everybody say it's a worship. All right. Now we're getting ready to get real serious now. Everybody say it's a warfare.
It's a warfare.
How many are still working on something, believing for something? All right, now watch this, watch this. It's a warfare against lack. Yeah, what? Yeah, my Thanksgiving is a warfare against stuff that has not showed up yet. Whether it's help, you follow me, help from the Lord, whether it's resources, the Bible gives me a pattern that when I need something, it is through the avenue of giving thanks that the supernatural intervenes in my life. All right, watch this. Okay. Watch this. Jesus is getting ready that needs to feed the 5,000. The disciples say we can't do it because we don't have enough. So Jesus says, what do you have? So the disciples go out and find, they come back and say, listen, all we have is a few fish, 5 barley loaves. Then one disciple said, but what is that among so many? Sarcasm. Jesus says, okay, you give that to me. Now, what does Jesus do? He lifts it up to God and start thanking God for the little bit that he has. Well, you better get this. You better get this. I'm talking about this is how you go to war against lack. You go to war against lack, not by complaining about what you don't have, but by giving God thanks for what you. Look at the person that said, I'm getting ready to go to war tonight. Tell them I'm getting ready to go to war tonight. Come on, real serious. Tell him, I'm getting ready to go to war tonight because I don't have enough to do some things that I need to do. But with what I have, I'm going to give God thanks for it. Going to war tonight. I need God to help me. I'm going to war tonight. I need some more resources. I'm going to war tonight. And instead of me complaining about my job, I'm going to thank God that I got a job. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture says, God says, I create the fruit of your lips. Fruit of my lips is the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm not going to fall into the trap others have fallen into. What I plan to do is to give him thanks. May not have enough to finish, but I got enough to get started. Hallelujah. Everybody say, he gives you more on your way. That he does
When you start.
That's what the lepers, the Bible says, as they went, as they obeyed, as they went, they got healed. As you go, as I give him thanks, as Jesus began to break and bless, the more that was to break, the more that was to bless, the more that was to bless, the more that was to break. Everybody say, I'm going to war tonight. I'm going to war tonight. Yeah, now this is a different kind of service because I'm getting ready to go to war tonight. There's some things I yet want God to do for me. And I understand my thanksgiving causes God. I'm getting a little excited. The thing went up to a 10 right now and I ain't ready to close yet. Yeah. Causes God to get involved. Everybody say, I'm going to war, going to war. All right, watch this. Jonah is in the belly of the fish. He's there because he's been disobedient. He's there because he didn't do what God said to. With seaweed wrapped around him, digestive juices chewing at his skin, he understands how to get out of his situation. The Bible says he began to give thanks to God. Huh? Yeah. He started thanking God in his miserable situation. And the Bible says something happened in the belly of that fish. That fish vomited him out. What held him captive let him go. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know what has swallowed you up. Debt may have swallowed you up. Depression may have swallowed you up. But just like Jonah, oh my. You may be in your situation because of decisions that you have made, but it doesn't stop God from getting you out. Yeah. Look, person, say, I'm getting ready to go to war. I'm going to war. In just a few minutes, I'm going to war because I'm going to thank God for his goodness. I'm going to thank God he's my deliverer. I'm going to thank God he can get me out of my situation. It's a way of life. It's a worship to the Lord. Warfare against the lack. And then the final thing, it's wholeness for loss. Everybody say loss. Yeah. Over these last couple of years, the body of Christ has lost some things. Yeah, you lost something. Some of you have lost your houses. Some of you lost your jobs. Some of you have lost other things. But from the Samaritan, we understand if we give him thanks, we can get the wholeness blessing. Amen, amen. That I'm about to get back everything I lost. The Lord told me to tell the body of Christ that that season, that's the season of increase is coming. Jesus. According to scripture, behind every season of distress and every season of attack and every season of loss, there is a season of blessing that follows. We are on the brink of this season of blessing, and your faith has got to be ready to receive it. Hallelujah. The person that said, I'm about to be restored. Tell them, I'm about to get back everything I lost. Everything, I'm mean mine. I don't know about you, but I mean mine. In fact, when I finish this, I'm going to be better than I was before the situation. Hallelujah. Stories told in a little small town, a little small church. Elder couple came up to the altar and told the pastor, our son was killed in battle. And what we want to do is we want to give the church an offering of memorial for him. Even though, you know, we know we'll never see grandchildren by him. He won't be around to take care of us in our old age. But we're thankful anyway, and we just want to leave something at the church to as a memorial to him. So we're giving this off. So, you know, the pastor, you know, he came forward and graciously received it. And, you know, everybody thought it was a good gesture. But this young couple on their way home, husband looked at the wife and said, you know, I think we ought to do something. He said, what? I think we ought to give an offering for our son. She said, what do you mean? He said, our son ain't dead. He said, no, but that's just the reason. Amen. The reason, we don't need to wait till something bad happens. We want to give because we're grateful that he is alive. And that he is with us. Now, when I read the story, I was reminded of something that happened in Numbers 31. Now, you don't have to go there, but that's your reference. The Midianites, who were notorious and barbarous warriors. I mean, everybody feared them, and they come upon Moses. And Moses had to put together a little ragtag band. They were not used. They'd been slaves. They ain't been used to fight. But he puts together a little ragtag army to go and fight the Midianites. It was a ferocious battle. You got it? And at the end of the battle, they totally annihilated the Midianites. And so after it was all over and they were gathering and the spoils and dividing and that sort of thing, the captains start looking around and counting the men to see how many they had lost. And when they counted, they found out some of them were cut up, but they were still alive. Some of them were bloody and bruised, but they had not lost a man in the battle. So they paused and said, wait a minute. As we divide this up, we want to get an offering that we got to take to the Lord. Because we wouldn't be where we are. Are you listening to me? So they come to Moses and stop Moses and the high priest and said, listen, we counted our men. And we found out that even though we've been in one of the fiercest battles we have ever been in, all everybody is accounted for. Amen. Amen, amen. And I'm telling you, this nation has been through one of the most terrible times we've had in a long time. But we're still here. Hallelujah. Little person says, I'm still here, still here. Yeah. You're still here. Thank God you're still alive. You still have opportunity. And that's why we give him thanks. Not because things are, you know, are all of that. I thank God because I'm still here. Everybody said, let's go to work. Let's go to work. Now, I'm praying now while I'm writing this lesson, because this lesson has to go to my sons, you know, Ed and to Daryl, because they're preaching the same thing. But then I sent it all over the country to all of my sons, not to all of my sons, but my sons and daughters who are close to me. I sent it to them because God said something, that if we would worship him and we would thank him with an offering, we could go to war against stuff that's in our lives. Everybody say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yeah. Tonight's going to be something special. It's going to be something special. Now, New Life, I know you give an offering just because we asked you for it. But God wanted me to prepare your heart in faith that as you are thanking God tonight and as you bring your offering to the altar tonight, even as a family you come, you're working on something. Amen. And we're going to watch God do some supernatural stuff. Are y'all ready? Yes. Now I'm going to have them do something in just a moment. And then we're going to do this. I'm really excited because when God speaks to me about stuff like this, I get really excited. All over the country, you know, boy, I thank God I've ended my travel for this year. Praise the Lord. You ain't happy, but I am. Yeah. But now this is how God has used me all over.